charisma? Like, is there?
It just you ooze it. You just ooze it.
So you can see charisma.
You can see it because you ooze it.
I understand exactly what you're saying, as a matter of fact.
If you ain't talking Super Bowl or the opportunity, you're not being honest with yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm being honest with myself, and I think that's ridiculous.
Okay.
They couldn't coexist, so one of them had to leave. One going to be Josh Allen. No,
seems like sometimes that feels like it's happening to us, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, I don't know.
OC. I smell a comeback.
Is that what you smell, J Bell?
Yes, I do, and it smells tasty.
But that was the other thing that I just did, but never mind.
Shout out to 888 Sport and Lazy Boy, the official partner of the NFL UK and Ireland. I'm J Bell. This is my man OC, and we got a great podcast for you today.
Absolutely, we do. But J Bell, I got to start this off with a little gripe I have.
Okay.
A little something annoying me, J Bell. It's been stuck in my craw, as they like to say.
What is that?
I don't know. So it's like what they used to say in the olden days. It's stuck in my craw. So I'm listening to this. I'm watching this story on Instagram.
Okay.
You know, and I see a guy. He's a former NBA player by the name of Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, baller.
Yeah, baller. And he said something that I see a lot of NBA players say.
Talk to me.
And it really, really, really gets my goats.
What is wrong with you? Who are you?
Guess my goat, J-Bell.
What is that? Okay.
You know what they say, Jason?
What do they say?
You know what they always say? And I've heard him say it. Paul Pierce, LeBron James, all these players. They're like, yeah, and, you know, anybody doing this and blah, 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 in our league. They always say our league. And in my head, I'm like, it's not your league, bro.
But I mean,
no,
player empowerment?
No.
Who do we celebrate?
No.
Are you saying because the monetary gain as far as ownership isn't theirs, is not there? They get, what, do they get more? I think they get 51%.
Not your league, J-Bell. It's not your league. You don't own that league, Jason.
Well, you know
maybe
what?
Maybe one player.
Maybe one player owns
that can
the league.
Say, our league.
Yeah, because he was an owner.
And it ain't them.
Okay.
They need to calm down with all of that.
All right.
It annoys me. I'm sorry. I just had to get it off my chest.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our podcast.
Is it really?
It's not even a... Let's get into Game of the Week. Get ready, get excited, and get comfortable, OC, for Lazy Boy Game of the Week.
Oh, yes, J Bell, the Game of the Week. 49ers at the Rams, but they say it was so much red in there that it felt like a 49ers home game, J Bell, and I know you're a little nervous about that.
Oh, you know a boy red. From Long Beach doesn't like that.
First quarter, 11:15 to go. Here we go with Brock Purdy.
A fake toss, Purdy looking, wide open man, it's Juwan Jennings, it's a San Francisco touchdown.
Stepping up into the pocket, looking left, looking right, and I believe Juwan Jennings, J Bell, touchdown.
What a play by Brock Purdy. He deserves to celebrate, but look at his eye movement on this play. It's the subtle look to the right as he scans, and he makes the safety in the middle move out of the way, which vacates the middle of the field. He comes back and delivers a strike right in the back of the end zone. Great play and great execution.
On to the second quarter, 1:15 to go.
Purdy stepping up, pressure coming. Purdy throws on the move to the end zone. It's a touchdown.
Matthew Stafford scanning, delivers a rocket. Splits two defenders. Kyren Williams, you might as well just call him Simone Biles, J Bell. He flipped into the end zone.
Ooh-wee, that technique was flawless. He almost got a 10 for the land, but he didn't get it. He didn't stick it. But you're right. Look at Matthew Stafford back here. He's got to throw this pass in between two defenders. We talk about his arm strength, his arm angles, and it was on full display. Athletic play by Kyren Williams. Jumping over defender right there. Ooh-wee! The slow-mo is extra sweet, baby. Oh, my gosh. He definitely went to the sideline with a bruised tush.
Third quarter, 7 minutes to go, Purdy in the pocket. And you won't guess what happens next, J-Bell. I believe Juwan Jennings.
Five in the pattern, Purdy stepping up, launching it, Jennings again! A three-touchdown performance! The day of his NFL life!
Juwan Jennings had a day, OC. Look at Juwan Jennings outrunning two defenders. Man, he made the most of this day.
That is his third touchdown, man. We call that a hat trick, J-Bell.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Actually, we don't call that a hat trick. I just made that up. That's like a soccer. They call that. Never mind. Still in the third quarter, 49ers up 21-14.
On your team, what's up? Fake it to Mason. Purdy. The shuffle, the throw. Jennings up top. Oh my goodness!
No way.
Did he just make that catch? And then he gives the Sinat celebration.
Purdy shuffles to the right, throws it up, and Juwan Jennings mosses the defender, J-Bell. You know all about that, don't you?
Oh, that's happened to me before. That has happened to me. What celebration is that,
OC? That's the Kai Cenat celebration, J-Bell.
Oh, and he's thanking his hands on that play. Juwan Jennings, this is unbelievable. This is showing the trust these two have together, because that's exactly what he did. He trusted that Juwan Jennings was going to come down with this pass. Big time play. Juwan Jennings is making the most of the moment. That is flat out disrespect to the defender.
49ers, Jake Moody is going to line up for the field goal here. Look at him trying to. That's a long field goal, too.
To make it a two-score game. Moody, it is no good.
OC, I smell a comeback.
Is that what you smell, J-Bell?
Yes, I do, and it smells tasty.
I thought that was the other thing that I just did, but never mind. That's in the red zone now.
To a draw. Oh, to Williams. Stafford to it. His arm's in the air. Williams is in, and the Rams are an extra point away from tying it.
Kyren Williams taking advantage. Remember last time they threw him the ball in that situation like that? He is great running between the tackles. Look at his vision. They show the subtle motion right here to get an indication on what the defense is doing. Matthew Stafford understands the middle of the field is going to open up. Give it to Kyren Williams, and he can seal the deal.
Fourth quarter, 56 seconds left to go. The 49ers are going to punt the ball to the Rams' Xavier Smith and special teams for special players.
43-yard punt. Here comes Smith. Here he comes, Xavier Smith, the first touch of his NFL career, takes the Rams out near midfield.
If you want to have a comeback, you need explosive plays in the kicking game, and that is exactly what happened with Smith, taking it down the sideline, putting his team in position to score. Huge play. You see the sideline. You see the charisma. You see the activity. This is what you love in the NFL. Right here, making the first defender miss, putting his foot in the ground, and accelerating around the corner. This is why every phase in football matters.
How do you see charisma? Like, is there...
It's just, you ooze it, OC.
You just ooze it. So you can see charisma.
You can see it because you ooze it.
I understand exactly what you're saying, as a matter of fact. Here we go. Tie ball game, J-Bell. Third and four, fourth quarter. 5 seconds left to go. The Rams line up for the field goal.
Purdy, comeback, complete. Taking the lead with 2 seconds left.
Right in front of those San Francisco fans. What a kick, putting them in the lead.
That is a great, great comeback by the Los Angeles Rams. And right here, you're going to see the 49ers trying to make something happen. They call this, I don't even know what play they call this, J-Bell.
They call it living on a prayer, and that prayer was almost answered. OC
Purdy.
Hook and ladder.
Bell gives it off.
Here comes Summer. Pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo.
Ayuk.
Uh-oh.
Flip back. This is Mason. Back to a lineman now. Now Sauber. Sauber, still on the move. A lineman flips it back, looking for Ayuk, and this ball game is over.
What a big win for Sean McVay and the Rams. They had so many injuries, but hey, the game's over. They got the win. Great, great win by the LA Rams. Matthew Stafford coming through. OC, I love game of the week.
Okay.
It's always entertaining.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, you come with your A game too.
Fun time.
You should do this for a living.
Fun time.
There was another game of the week.
Okay.
All right. It was the Commanders winning versus the Bengals. 38-33, right? Mm. The Bengals are 0-3.
Imagine.
I mean, but I'm not here to talk about them right now.
Yeah, we want winners.
I'm here to talk about Jalen Daniels. Mm. 21 out of 23. He completed 21 passes out of 23 attempts for 254 yards and two touchdowns. One for a long of 55 yards. That last one to Terry McLaurin, who was balling all game, was phenomenal. But before I get into that, I love talking about bulletin board material because as players, we thrive off of it, right?
Yes.
Every week, articles, what did the players say about this upcoming match? It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Taylor-Britt, the corner who was beaten on that last touchdown by Terry McLaurin, tight coverage, but he came up with a good pass, good catch, all that. As a corner, I understand that. Cam Taylor-Britt, he had to comment on Jalen Daniels, right? He's getting an interview, he was just talking, and it became bulletin board material.
As people do nowadays.
Yes,
he's
just talking. Mm-hmm. And what he said was, they don't make him do a lot. They keep it really simple for him. Nice college offense. And Cliff Kingsbury is the OC. Mm. So basically, he might have been telling the truth on the previous games.
Okay.
But he indirectly called out the offensive coordinator and the quarterback.
Yep.
Let me tell you, as a corner, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because you're telling the guy who's calling the plays to design up something to attack me.
Yeah.
Quarterback, offensive coordinator, with the same focal point, that guy said this.
Yeah.
We're going to go at him.
Yeah.
That's the result. He got big two plays off of him.
You're right. Right? There's he shouldn't have said any of that. People just talk so much nowadays. But I have to bail him out here a little bit, Jay.
Okay.
Bell.
I like bailing the
corner
out.
Oh, I have to bail the corner out here because that defensive coordinator did a horrific job of making the call. Like, come on. Bro, like, he sensed seven people into the pressure,
right?
On third and seven,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So if you look at what Taylor Britt did, they ran like a stutter go.
Yes.
And as soon as McLaurin stuttered at right where the sticks are, right where that first yard, he had to bite because he has to make the tackle if in case they do throw the ball.
Yes.
So he bit. There was no help, no safety help, one-on-one coverage. I mean, come on. As a defensive coordinator, you cannot put your – and I hate when they do this. They keep putting their players – in horrible positions, and then we sit over here and we blame the player. You cannot put him in that type of position, especially in that situation, J-Bell.
First of all, OC, that's a phenomenal breakdown.
You like that?
Yeah, and I think that you should do that more.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we can talk about that because that was outstanding.
Mm.
You're absolutely right. For people that don't even understand exactly what we're talking about, let's break it down simply. When you bring seven people, the ball has to come out quickly.
Right now.
Yep. We are saying, I am sitting on a route. I am sitting at the sticks where the first down marker is because, and usually on the inside, because the ball has to come out fast, and usually the inside where there's a lot of space. So I'm already in a bad situation. So when you do any kind of stutter hesitation, it's going to be difficult for me. So I like what you're saying. That being said, who did they go after?
Same guy who was talking the trash.
Bulletin board material is real in the NFL. The more you say, the more we can use against you. And it's tough, right? Because we know our game, our league.
In our league.
Our league. Uncle Sam couldn't even hold that in. In our league, you have to be exposed to the players. We want to talk to them. What are you saying? What are you thinking? And they want to be transparent, right? You had the microphone in your face all the time as a player. But you have to know the less you say, the better. Mm. Think about Bill Belichick right now in the media. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's giving us everything. But when he was a coach, he said nothing.
Yeah.
He gave away nothing. So I say, you know, great play. Jalen Daniels, celebrate that. That was a phenomenal game. Great coaching on the side of obviously the Washington Commanders. That being said, there's some other good coaches that need to be celebrated, OC.
Mm.
Look at what Matt LaFleur is doing. His quarterback's out. He's got Malik Willis winning games, man. They have 612 rushing yards this season.
Crazy.
He is, I mean, Malik Willis was 13 out of 19 for 202 yards. He was a castaway.
They ran him out of Tennessee. Said he couldn't be their backup.
Ran him out of Tennessee. Look at what Mike Tomlin's doing.
Ridiculous.
Justin Fields, the way he's playing, OC. Now, what do you think about that defense, though? That defense is, it's ridiculous.
Three straight games now, they've given up less than 10 points. The last Steelers team to do that was in like the 70s, you know, the steel curtain defense. So they're playing defense at a historical level. But we've always known the Steelers play good defense.
Yeah, they do.
Man. They always play. Now they show up to found the fight. A complement in the way that they're playing offensively. Both sides of the ball complement each other. It's going to be a difficult team to beat, bro. Difficult team to beat.
And they're unbeaten, which is surprising to everybody, because in the offseason, we're looking at the rosters and we're just making assessments based on no games being played. We don't even know who their identity is. But they're 3-0, and there's some other unbeatens.
Yep.
Okay? Man, tell me the Bills don't look good.
They look outstanding, man.
47-10 win over Jacksonville. My goodness. Hey.
A thumping.
Thumping.
They brought in Mitch Trubisky. I mean, that's how bad they were beating them. They brought in Trubisky. Like, here, come take some of these shots. Mitchie T.
Let's get Trevor. Let's take some of these shots. Josh Allen's a star. Mm. Big time throws. Not turning the ball over, right? The way he's playing. I mean, he had 263 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, I thought, man, is it over for the Bills? Yes. Is the window past? Mm. And this is why you pay a guy like Josh Allen. Because he is Superman. I mean, I thought they would miss Stephon Diggs, you know, a little bit. You know, he still comes through. But yet, Josh Allen takes over the game. Early to say, but you can't tell me he's not top three for MVP right now.
I think you have to say that. In regards to Stephon Diggs, it's almost like a Kobe Shaq thing in a way. Ooh. You remember how the Lakers chose Kobe and were like, Shaq, these two people can't coexist.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them has to go.
Yep.
And so here it's almost the same thing. It became obvious that Stephon, Josh Allen, in that situation, they couldn't coexist. So one of them had to leave. Mm-hmm. One going to be Josh Allen. No.
Seems like sometimes that feels like it's happening to us, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, I don't know.
You are so right, man. Josh Allen, I mean, we got to look at these Bills. We got to really focus on them because they are flat out balling. And we talked about the Steelers, man, and what they're doing. Russell Wilson thought this was his job.
Yeah.
One calf injury, Justin Field out there playing the way he is. Like you said, it fits this team because you're going to play tough defense, right? You're going to hold – what are they? They're the fifth team since 2000 to win the first three games and allow 10 or fewer points.
Mm.
And that's what you said earlier, right?
Yep.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
And all you need is your quarterback to make a big play. Picking up big first downs, scrambling, it's the key.
The very first podcast, I was like – Russell Wilson, he's not going to make it through half the season.
You did say that.
Very first. If you understand the Steelers, right?
Yep.
And you think about Justin Fields and you think about his style of play,
yep.
You insert that into what they do, you're like, well, that makes a lot more sense than Russell Wilson right now, right? Yep. So, we knew this was going to happen. Yep.
He's got to make sure he doesn't turn the ball over. That's key. He had an interception, but he had 245 passing yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, he's coming through when necessary. And the other undefeated team, my friend, the Vikings.
Wow.
The Vikings.
I didn't see that one coming, J-Bell.
3-0 for the first time since 2016. I know it's early, but that NFC North is
bananas.
It's
right
phenomenal as a division.
Best division in football.
Best division in football. Yeah, for sure.
Tough.
Three teams, Detroit, Green Bay, and obviously the Vikings. But you got to start thinking. And I hate to be, I don't like doing hot takes, but if you ain't talking Super Bowl or the opportunity, you're not being honest with yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm being honest with myself, and I think that's a ridiculous.
Okay.
This is Super Bowl, J-Bell.
This is why I say that.
Their quarterback is still Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
He's playing well.
Is playing well.
He's playing phenomenal.
Sam Darnold was a first round draft pick. When he came out of college, he was. It means somebody thought he had talent.
That's true.
Somebody thought he had talent. He's very young. But I look at this team and we're talking about coaching. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, playmaker. What is he doing? He is putting his players in positions to succeed. He knows how to scout the quarterback position. Mm. We talked about coaching earlier, mm-hmm. to your point, and he knows how to teach it. So he says, you have the tools, and this is how I teach you. That is important at that position. And as a play caller, you see it. Think about when he had to play all the backup quarterbacks last year.
Yeah,
and guys were, right? He was winning because he was saying, you do this well, let me adjust. Mm-hmm. This is why it matters. Stop blaming people. Adjust.
Yeah.
Do what you have to do. The season is long. He's doing that. And their defensive coordinator, I got to go with the OC voice on this, Brian Flores.
Wow.
Okay, we talked about, so they win. Is it 34-7?
It was a beatdown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Against Houston?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, this offense, they sacked him 5 times? Like, that Houston offense operates on a high level.
Mm.
And they got after him like that. Every team that plays this defense walks away and goes, whew. You see Brock Purdy telling him the week before, like, man, that was crazy. He walked up to the defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, and was like, man, that was wild.
Yeah.
Brian Flores, the former head coach, the Miami Dolphins, paired with Kevin O'Connell, amazing. And one reason that works, I'm not trying to say this because we had him on here, Harrison Smith, our guy, watch him disguise coverages. It works because that guy will line up on the line of scrimmage and run all the way back into the deep third of the deep half.
Troy Polamalu style.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have somebody you trust that can do that. They do. Obviously, coaching, understanding your players, working out. What are your thoughts on that? I know I hogged the mic.
It's okay. Two things. First, when I watch Minnesota play offensively, what blows my mind, right, is Justin Jefferson. He makes some contested catches, but a lot of times he is running wide open.
He's the best route runner in the NFL.
I don't care.
Are you saying, like, why are we allowing this? Okay.
How is he running?
We know it's going to be him.
This guy has the most yards out of anybody in history in the first 3-4 seasons. We've never really seen any, and he's still finding a way to run wide open. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't.
OC, the best players find a way to shine.
Cool. Now,
what is that?
Because that
is so dismissive.
No, you just,
but just appropriate. Just,
no. It's almost like, you know, sometimes you ever seen like a really, really good pass rusher?
Yeah.
You know, this guy is like unblockable.
My buddy, OC, introduce you to him.
And then sometimes you see them leaving him one-on-one with a rookie offensive tackle, or sometimes they'll leave him unblocked.
Mm.
And you're like, why would you leave, of all the people on the field,
why would you
leave that guy?
I remember a game in Philadelphia where somebody had 6 sacks. And
that's what happened.
You.
And guess what happens after that? They start lining up in pump protection. You know,
they do all kind of stuff.
They're like, no, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
So when I see it happening offensively, it blows my mind. I'm like, you can't.
Yeah.
You have to eliminate. Somebody else has to beat you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So there's that. Now, in terms of defense and Brian Flores, this is one of the more phenomenal things I've seen.
Ooh, talk to me.
Interesting things I've seen. Because I can't wait to see how this plays out. I can't wait to see how this plays out. You talk about Brian Flores. We all know he's an outstanding defensive coordinator. He's been that way. Was with Miami. He was the head coach of Miami. Got fired. Sued Miami.
Yep.
Sued the NFL.
Yep. Read up on it.
You know, currently he's still engaged in lawsuits.
I think you're right.
Yeah, against either Miami or the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You told me something interesting about Flores that I had actually forgot. And this was the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, decided that once he was fired from Miami and he filed the lawsuits, he was going to hire him immediately because he didn't want a guy of that talent out the league because he might never get a chance to come back in, right? And you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers themselves with the Rooney Rule. They had the rule, the coaching rule.
It was all started with them.
All started with them. And so the fact that a guy who—
Which means each team has to interview a minority candidate. Which puts us on the stage in front of owners to give us opportunities eventually.
The fact that a guy, number one, think about the audacity of that.
Yeah.
A guy who's suing the NFL, they're like, yeah, that's cool, but we're still going to hire this guy. right? They hired him. He goes now to the Minnesota Vikings, and they're playing the best defense probably in the league right now. I can't wait to see if this guy gets a chance to be an actual head coach in the NFL. I want to see what happens there.
He's going to have to be.
You think so?
Look at what's happening. How are teams slowing down these explosive offenses?
Mm.
You better have somebody who can play defense. We haven't even talked about our boy and our guys in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Undefeated.
Outstanding.
Right?
Team. Yep.
Great coaches. Our guy. We almost don't want to pub them up too much because
exactly,
it's our guy.
Because we want to see what happens. Yeah. I don't want to jinx it.
Right. They're undefeated.
Yep.
Great coaching. What are they doing? They're defense.
Yep.
The head coach is a defensive guy. Our guy, Andurde, is the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
They're playing great defense,
yep.
right? And this is what they're doing. We're slowing down these offenses. You have to consider Brian Flores. And Mike Tomlin gets talked about at a high level for many reasons. The Pittsburgh Steelers, just like the New York Giants and other organizations, get talked about highly because of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he couldn't have his friend out there on the street when it was a tough year. He needed him in the building. I'm just talking off of what I think.
Yep.
Because you don't want to make people feel isolated. And it's hard enough going through whatever he's going through. But he wasn't isolated. He went into work every day with people that cared about him, the head guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a charity case because what did Tomlin say? Why would I not bring him in the building?
Yeah.
Because he's talented. And we see it.
You're spot on. Spot on. But I want everybody who's listening, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture you're working for a company that has a parent
yes.
organization.
Yeah, yeah.
You now sue the parent organization.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And you're in position to be CEO
of the parent company. Of one of the conglomerates. No, true.
And so the parent company is like, hey, hold on.
Yeah, yeah. What are
we doing?
But if you become CEO of one of those companies, what does your lawsuit look like? It's kind of hard to.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
It's kind of hard to say that practice happens.
And that's what I mean. I'm interested to see
how this plays out. The one thing about the NFL that's great is you have 32 owners.
Yeah.
Think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So. All it takes is one.
Yeah.
It's
the United States, essentially.
Hey, man.
The
do you
want to
win? Do you want to stay competitive? These are the best people. Let's go. And you see that by him being the defensive coordinator and them having massive success.
Mm.
We talked about Seattle. What about the Chiefs, man? They're undefeated, finding ways to win. They got a lot of injuries. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be – that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Carson Steele from my UCLA Bruins, 17 carries, 72 yards. I like seeing him out there.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick Mahomes has admitted to himself he's not playing great. He said he's missing some key throws and he's just not – seeing things clearly at times.
Mm.
I'm paraphrasing, of course. I like the fact that he took ownership and that they find a way to keep improving each week. The fact that they're 3-0 tells you something about them. That defense is amazing, first of all. But the pedigree is winners. They find a way, and they continue to have growth.
You know who's not finding a way in Kansas City Chiefs?
Please tell me. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be a hater. Are you going to say his name? What? Go ahead. Say it. Just say it.
No, listen. Just,
who are you talking about for the people? Just saying.
Hold on. They say he's off to his worst start as a professional.
Can I say his name?
No, Kelce.
Yeah, Travis Kelce we're talking
about.
Okay.
He looks like a shell of himself right now. Okay. Now, I believe he's going to, you know, progress. He's going to get better as he usually does.
Yeah.
But right now, the optics of him as a player and I feel bad.
He's got a lot of attention, OC.
I feel bad, man. I feel bad for him in the way that this looks.
Okay.
You know, I don't feel bad for him as a what's my famous saying?
Never feel bad for a man who owns a plane.
Never. So I don't feel
Your dad
bad
told
for
him. You
That's
that, right?
What my dad said. Yeah. So I don't feel bad for him in that sense.
Duh.
But in terms of the way it looks, because it looks like, you know, you're on this whirlwind tour, and you're doing this and you're doing that, and now you can't perform on the field. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the case,
okay,
but that's what it looks like.
Okay. That's the way it looks.
Yeah.
We need him to be good nearing the end of the season, head into the postseason. He needs to be on a pitch count like they do with pitchers, right? Yeah. Don't throw too many balls. Make sure you're healthy. You're ready to go. Mm. It's all about how it is at the end of the year when it counts. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you, I know it looks like, as you get older, sometimes it looks like you fall off a cliff. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, right? But at his position, he doesn't need to be as fast or quick. He needs to be savvy. Mm-hmm. He needs to see the field like Patrick Mahomes. And if Pat says he's not seeing the field the way he wants to, that equation is where you fit Travis Kelce in. Yeah. So I am not panicking on that. It's a little bit out of his control, OC.
JBL,
it's a little bit out of his control.
Do you know how difficult, how hard it is to be in your 12th year in the NFL? You're a megastar now, right? You're in a different stratosphere. You're traveling all over the place. You're going everywhere. You know, you're a super celebrity now. This is not when you're young. When you're young, you can...
Yeah.
You know, you can Odell Beckham it. You can Jeremy Shockey it.
Okay.
You're on your 12th year.
I'm not even going to laugh anymore because you're right. I know where you're going.
Right?
I know where you're going, bro.
Then on top of that,
yeah,
they pay you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the Chiefs. They redid his contract. Gave him a ton more money. New Heights podcast, $100 million on top... Imagine that in your 12th year in the league.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, three-time champion already, how do you go out there now? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, the things that you need to do to get, like, how?
So you make a good point because as you get older, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
There are no days off. You can't have them. Like, at the age I am now, if I don't work out every day, my back hurts, my knees hurt. Mm. Like, it's not aesthetics. It's pure survival.
Yeah.
So as you get older in the league, you see I remember watching Strahan work out. And I was like, oh, that's how you play 15 years. Like, the regimen, right?
It's tough.
The way you worked out. Mm-hmm. You realize, like, you can't – anything that throws off your schedule impacts – game day, whatever it is. Now, I don't know what I'm not talking about Travis Kelce, but I am in guessing, like, all of these things going on, they do impact you. And it's cool if you're balling. It's okay. And I was going to say before, it's out of his control, but maybe it is in his control.
I feel if this would have happened when he was in year six, year seven, It would be a different conversation.
I totally
towards
understand.
The end of your career, it's either you're going to play football or you're going to do this.
You're like, right, because it is hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's difficult. And we talked about control. And there's a quote I wanna say that I love, especially when we're doing broadcasts, breaking down the game. And it's, you can have the lead in a game and not be in control.
Okay.
That came from your boy, Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Parcells is your boy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah. But Parcells said it, Bill Belichick says it. Mm. And what it means is, in a game, we're talking about momentum. You might have a lead, but you don't have control.
Mm.
You got the lead and you're trying to defend and you can't hold it. The other team is just applying pressure the whole time. So the score is not telling the story. And the Ravens, they get their first win of the season, right? 28-25, beating the Dallas Cowboys. But once again at the end, it felt like they were not in control.
Yeah, something's happening there, man. Like, it's too repetitive. It's too repetitive. I don't know if you put that down to coaching. I don't know if you put that down to, you know, their offense, you know, because this continues to happen. This game shouldn't have even been close.
They were beating the face off of the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have the soft underbelly.
Yeah.
They cannot run the ball, and they can't stop the run.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't play. You can't win games. If they're not ahead, right, if they don't get a big lead. They're front runners. They got to get a big lead, and then they can rush the passer off the edge. Micah Parsons comes to life. Mm. But if they got to play in a dogfight.
Forget it. Forget it.
They're not.
They beat the Cleveland Browns, and everybody just started singing their praises, and now – they get back to reality.
They've allowed 557 rushing yards in three games, OC. That's the most in franchise history since 1963.
Can't do it.
Over a three-game span.
Thought Dan Quinn was the problem. That's what I.
It seems like it is a roster issue. But to be, you know, back to talking about the Ravens, they got to find a way to be in control at the end of these games because they're not closing out. Lamar Jackson, though, man, yeah. I mean, let's celebrate what he is and what he does. The way he runs the ball,
mm-hmm.
he's so hard to deal with as a runner, right? He's so quick. I played against Michael Vick. You've played against Michael Vick. When Michael Vick is on the field, it's faster.
Yes.
The film, you're like, oh, maybe. And then you out there, you like, oh, my goodness. Mm. That's how Lamar Jackson is, especially when he goes against NFC teams. Obviously, he's in the AFC. When he faces NFC teams, they can't handle him.
He lost like maybe once against the NFC team.
Can't ever handle him.
Because they're not used to seeing him.
They're not used to seeing him. But what it does, it's a great formula.
Mm.
He wears you out, all the quickness. And then you seal the deal by giving the ball to Derrick Henry, who had 151 yards on 21 carries, 2 touchdowns.
Vintage Derrick Henry performance.
But it's the way they set it up, OC. Mm. And I believe that formula will work for them. I think that is their identity. All right, OC, can you say J-E-T-S, win, win, win?
N-O-N-O. No. Nah, shout out to the Jets. Yeah. I like the Jets.
Hey, listen, that defense.
Yeah.
Balling, holding up. We knew they were going to be a formidable force. Mm-hmm. And with Aaron Rodgers playing the way he has, we need to start talking about this team being a serious threat in the AFC. He was 25 out of 35, 281 passing yards, two touchdowns. And Tyler Conklin, man, the tight end, 5 receptions for 93 yards. He got loose. We caught up with him on an interview also. What do you think about the Jets?
Listen, when you look at the way that roster is, right? First of all, defensively magnificent. They're a defensive-minded team, or they were anyway. Bring in Aaron Rodgers, a four-five-time MVP. The only question was, is he going to look the way Aaron Rodgers looked of old? Last year, we didn't get a chance to see that because of the injury. This year, he seems to be on track. There's no this is going to be a very difficult team to beat. When they're playing like that defensively, and you have that quarterback with those weapons around him, very difficult to beat. I see this team winning at least 10 games, at the very least.
Ooh, let's catch up with Tyler Conklin and hear what he has to say about his quarterback. Man, it's our honor, man. We got Tyler Conklin from the New York Jets, the tight end who balled out last week. 5 catches for 93 yards. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I looked at your Instagram and you put something that inspired me. I work way too hard to treat this like it's luck, man. What made you put that up there after a performance like that?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of my journey in general, being a walk-on in college, being a fifth-round pick, you know, just like kind of taking advantage of opportunities when they arose and when I got the chance to finally play. You know, kind of all of that, you know, just all the work I put in throughout my career, my life, every off season, you know, for just like in the game when it kind of all, you know, comes forward, is just, you know, and then the song, you know, I was looking for a song like, damn, what song can I put on? I just kind of listened. I'm like, man, this fits.
I like it. I saw some of your off season workouts, man. You really get going. Tell us what it is in the off season. Are you always working on something? Is it something specific or what's kind of the agenda?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every single year I've kind of like got a little better at trying to figure out like how my offseason needs to go. Like when I first got in the league, I was like, man, am I supposed to be down here at like Bomberitos or Exos or one of these places? And because I'd always be back at home in Michigan doing my strength training and whatnot. So I always wondered like, man, am I doing it right? Like, should I be down in one of these places? And, you know, I slowly kind of just surrounded myself with the people that I thought could best help me in like all aspects. And, you know, every kind of year I kind of dig a little deeper into, you know, what I think I get better at, like, you know, football-wise, what I could get better at physically, you know, how I can protect myself. So I'm just kind of always on a deep dive of what can I do to, you know, get 1% better, or just a little bit better.
Yeah, it's definitely showing on the field. And, you know, the tight end position, you're involved in so much in the game. Obviously, pass blocking, the run game, and obviously the passing game. Playing with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, how has that helped you see the game different? Your feel for the game, how you're adjusting on the fly, because you see the chemistry that you two have on the field right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things. Like I kind of explained to people when I first got in the league, being in my situation, like I kind of always had to be able to, I always had to do things, I guess, in a way that made like coaches trust me, you know. And I was in Minnesota, I finally got my chance to play. You know, I kind of always had to do things the right way. Like, so when I got my first year to start, I'm like, okay, I gotta like, you know, make sure I'm like people trust me and whatnot. So then, you know, I got to New York and I kind of like, you know, new place, new coaches, want to do the same thing, earn people's trust. And then Aaron got here and he just sees the game so so uniquely, and he plays with such a feel that it was like kind of me rewiring, you know, a lot of what I had to do to get my opportunity in this league. But like, okay, like, yeah, this is my route, this is what I got to do. But also, like, you just got to feel the game. You got to be able to see what the defense is doing, obviously. But, you know, it just sent me on a deeper dive into, like, getting better at watching film, trying to be able to kind of understand to the best of my ability what he's seeing. You know, obviously that's not easy for someone that, you know, sees the game like him and has played for as long as he has and whatnot. So, obviously, I don't always see it the same way. But, you know, I was like, okay, if I'm going to capitalize and maximize this opportunity, I need to really, you know, get better at watching film so I can do my best to kind of see what he sees kind of throughout the game.
When do those conversations happen on what he sees? Is it during practice? Is it during the games? Is it meeting all three?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think especially because, I mean, he's like a lot of times he's out there playing against the DC, right? Like he's played against, you know, every type of defense, all these different defensive coordinators. So, like when he gets out there, you know, he has recollection of like, when he played this guy in 2010 and he was in Dallas, you know, they did this a lot to him, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, he played the Patriots back then with Belichick. Like, you know, they might blitz a lot the week before. Maybe they blitz a little less against him. Like, so he has, like, you know, just recollection and just so much experience and so much situational awareness of just, like, throughout his career, what people have done to him. So, I mean, that'll come up in meetings. That'll come up when we're, you know, going against scout team and they're giving us certain looks. And he's like, hey, like, when they're all like this and – they're probably getting to like an inverted two and you might just need to run it like this or whatever it may be. So, I mean, it happens in all aspects, whether it's on the field in practice, whether it's meetings, kind of whatever it is.
As an offensive unit, you guys got a lot of talent, but this must give you so much confidence knowing that he's so prepared and he's seen everything and he can adjust on the fly.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we got a lot of, I think the beautiful thing about our offense is we have so many people that are different aspects of their career, but they're all out there, you know, with something, with a chip on their shoulder, with something to prove, right? You know, all the way from Aaron coming off an injury to, you know, me being in kind of the middle parts of my career with, you know, a lot that I want to prove. Garrett Wilson, you know, who's been on the verge of just superstardom for the last couple of years. Same with Breece Hall, just these guys that, you know, so many of us that, you know, you got Joe Tittman on the offensive line who's going to his second year, who's taking a huge step. There's so many guys that don't just, you know, love this game and, you know, are good at this, at playing this game, but also guys that just have so much to prove and want to take those next steps and become Pro Bowlers and become all pros and whatnot. So I think it's just kind of a beautiful mix of a lot of different players wanting that for the team and for themselves at all different stages of their career. You're 20, you're 15, you're 7, you're 3. I just feel like that's not something you get on every team.
Do you guys feel pressure of the expectations of this team, especially how talented it is? And obviously Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and how do you guys manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of us really think about it like that. You know, we do a really good job, and I think Aaron also helps us do a really good job of just being in the moment. Like when we lost our first game against San Fran, right? Like he's like, okay, everybody, like don't overreact. Like when he's talking to the media and stuff, like it's obviously you don't want to lose any games. You don't want to lose a home opener. You know, you don't want to lose a game like that against a team that you're kind of judging yourself off who's been in, you know, been to Super Bowls and NFC championships and all those different things. You know, but like after the loss, like that was the first thing. Okay, like don't panic. Like, so there's definitely like a sense of just, you know, calmness, like even keel when it comes to that. I mean, it's a long season, but like with him back there, you do always feel like you have a chance. You always feel like you should be in games or should win games. You know, he does a good job of keeping us in the present moment. And I think that's been a big thing for me, right? Just game by game, play by play, just doing my best. How can I be the greatest I can be in every single individual moment throughout a game? And, you know, I feel like if I can do that throughout a game, I'll be happy with that game and I'll be happy with the season. So, you know, just being in the present, I think, is something that we're trying to be as a team.
I'm going to take you out of the present moment. I know this isn't protocol. You got Denver next week, but we're going to skip ahead because we're excited to see you here in London versus the Vikings. Have you ever played in London before first?
I've never played in London. I missed it by like a year every year. I think my first year after I left Minnesota, I think they went to London. I think the year before I got to New York, they went to London. So I've missed it. This is my first time.
What have you heard about the experience?
Honestly, I haven't like talked to a ton of people about it. But for the people I have talked about, like, you know, everybody kind of has a different experience from the travel there to, you know, every team. Some teams go for the whole week and get to, you know, kind of wander around and enjoy themselves a little bit. Some people kind of just go in and out like a business trip. You know, I know my family's super excited about it. You know, I got my wife's family, my family. So I think it's awesome for them because, you know, it's an excuse for them to get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, go to a different country, watch football, watch me. But also they're going for the whole week to do all types of stuff, right? They're going golfing. They're going to experience all the different things. So, you know, I'm excited for my family and kind of like what the opportunity gives them to experience this.
Well, I tell you what, the fans are going to love you out here. The crowd is going to be wild. And if you need any help on restaurant reservations for the family, I got you, bro.
Yeah, I could use them. I mean, me and the wife will probably go get dinner one time, so I definitely need at least one.
All right, man. We're excited to see you out here. Thank you for taking the time to do this interview, man. And once you get out here, man, these fans are going to love you. It's going to be crazy. Enjoy the experience.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Osi can't wait to see him play in London. He's excited to come out here. Talked about dinner reservations with the family, but you know, you're the one with all the plugs, so you gotta hook him up.
No. You got the plug, J-Bell. You got the plug.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you who else had the plug. The Panthers. The Panthers secure their first win of the season over the Raiders, 36-22. Andy Dalton coming in to start over Bryce Young. He completed 26 out of his 37 passes for 319 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 3 of those in the first half, OC. Chuba Hubbard ran for 114 yards. Deontay Johnson had over 120 yards and a touchdown. Ah, man.
So there's a lot of things that
– There's a lot going on.
When you talk about the Panthers, right?
Yep.
So they benched Bryce Young.
Yes.
The first overall pick in the draft, which is something people never do. So they bench him. They go to Andy Dalton, a veteran quarterback. He's had a lot of success in this league. Canales, the head coach, came from Tampa. He's supposed to be an offensive genius. Wasn't happening with
– That's why they brought him in.
With Bryce Young. And then you put in Andy Dalton, and he goes off like that.
Berserko.
You know – And so Dave Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, who was getting all kinds of stick, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, and blase, blase, blah, he's this, he's that. He makes a very, very bold call here, and the gamble paid off, J-Bell. That's a tough situation.
Are you calling – do you think this is just a blip on the radar? You know how when they have change,
yes,
everybody in the organization is on high alert.
Yes.
You know the focus is on this performance. It's coming from top down. You are literally playing for your job.
Yes.
It's that extra effort. Whenever there's a coaching change, a quarterback change, or something like that, do you think this is going to sustain?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you why. Look at what he did with Baker Mayfield. Journeyman quarterback. You know, he'd been all these different places. All of a sudden has the best year of his career.
But Dalton can't be the future.
He might not be the future, but you can't tell me, right, that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Andy Dalton.
I think he is.
There's just no possible way, JB.
I think he is.
We're forgetting how good Andy Dalton was as a player.
He took the playoffs a lot. It was the whole issue was he didn't win a playoff game, right?
Mayfield he is a very, very good quarterback. So in the hands, in the veteran hands.
Okay.
They're going to be okay. Just Bryce just wasn't getting the job done.
No,
man.
You're right. I mean, you just look at the way the offensive line played, held up, and the playmakers on the outside. They thought this team had talent, and to your point, they delivered. And I hate to say it, against the Raiders,
who were a good team.
We were especially on defense.
On defense, you just carved them up like that.
That's the part where you're like, bro, on defense, like, what are we talking about? And our boy AP, man.
Yeah.
Can I read you something?
Please.
Can I bring you in?
Mm-hmm.
AP. So I love watching him do interviews because he's good at it. He's just
he's himself.
Yeah, he's who he is. This is how he stood up in front of the room and talked to us as a defense and as an entire team. This is a quote from AP. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was the team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
So what does that mean, J-Bell? Tell the people what that means.
the
quote means.
This was after asking what his positive takeaways from the game were. You know what his response was?
Yes.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. You got beat down like that.
So back to your question posed to me.
Yeah.
What do I think that was?
What do you think that means, what he said? When he said that about people making business decisions and he's going to make business decisions, what do you think that means?
I'm missing a little information, but was he talking about players on defense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought.
It might have been on defense.
Okay, say it was defense.
Players, yeah.
I think, I believe, and I have no information on this.
Mm-hmm.
We know players love these phones. They read everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to talk to them through the media.
Yes.
Sometimes you got to say, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
And you know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a decision made, everybody knows
who they're talking about.
Who I'm talking about.
Business decision means they're going to release you, bench you, something.
Definitely won't be playing. You know, I don't know about release. That's too early. You kind of, and that's different, right? But I think your first chance is playing, right? That's your first, that's the first kind of string you pull, right? So if you're not playing as much, say you don't start, say something happens and you're not there, they know, oh, that's you. Or it's a threat. It's, you know, so that's what I believe. He is talking to his team through the media.
Yes, he's talking to his team through the media. But the problem that I see with that, really, is the NFL is such a business, and the players are making, a lot of them anyway, especially the ones he would be talking about, are making so much money that it really, really limits your ability to really make those kind of business decisions. And this is why I feel like when you come out and say something like that, to be able to back it up is a very, very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult. Because what are you talking about doing? You talking about like benching these players? Well, they were starters for a reason, right? And if in fact you do decide to bench them, the person who you replace them with, he better be able to ball just like that person, right? Otherwise, you're costing yourself eventually, right?
This is hurting the team and you.
And you.
So, talent's a premium.
So you come out and you say something like that, your recourse to take action is very, very limited. So this is why I'm against those type of statements, because I don't really know what you can do, especially in the short term. After the season, yeah. But right now, you're in a no-win situation, bro.
See, that's tough after a game, right? You're on the podium. You want to say what you saw, how you feel. But then you got to go back to your office and you got to make that decision.
Right.
And you got to go. And you got to think.
Holistically.
Yeah. Everything. You got to go, is this the best thing for my team? Yet, as a leader, as we know he is, if you gonna flex, if you lose trust, it's over.
Yeah.
And if he's lost trust in players and how they perform, it's over for them. That being said, you might be on to something. That is, you are on high alert. This is your warning. So it could have been a significant warning shot. We're going to see how that plays out. Hey, it's hard being a leader.
It's tough, man.
It's hard being a leader, man. It's that time. Our picks of the week, powered by 888 Sport, official partner of the NFL UK and Ireland. OC, are you ready?
I'm ready, bro.
First up, we got the Cowboys at our Giants. What are you going with?
First of all, you see the shirt I have.
Yes, because we won.
We won. So every time we win, I'm going to put on the Giants sweatshirt. Do I think they're going to be able to beat the Cowboys? Not this time, man. I think the Cowboys win it. They're too desperate right now. Too desperate for a win.
Yeah, and I'm worried about the Giants' secondary. That's my issue. And we know the Cowboys can throw the rock. I'm going with the Cowboys also. We got the Packers at the Vikings.
I'm going to go with the Vikings here, man. I don't think this Packers train can keep on rolling through Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jordan Love will be back, but if Malik Willis is on the field versus this Viking defense, I don't got a lot of hope for him. They've been playing well, but I'm rolling with the Vikings. We got the Bills at the Ravens, OC.
Bills at the Ravens. Bills undefeated against a hungry Ravens team. I'm going to go with the Ravens here, J-Bell. It's going to be tough for the Bills to win in Baltimore.
This is where Josh Allen becomes a front runner for MVP.
Okay.
The Bills win at the Ravens. I'm going with Buffalo, man. I don't know why, but I got faith in Superman Josh Allen in this one. This is going to be interesting. Outplaying the MVP of last year
at home.
Ooh-wee.
No, J-Bell.
You're not with me on that?
No, J-Bell.
All right. How do you feel about the Seahawks at Detroit?
I'm going to have to go with Detroit here. Yeah, I think the Seahawks take that first L. I'm going with Detroit.
All right, I'm going with the Lions, too, at home. It's going to be hard to beat them, especially inside where Jared Goff plays well. Eagles at the Buccaneers.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Bucks are overachieving to me. They played well, but they're overachieving. I think the Eagles are the better team. Eagles win the game.
I'm going with the Buccaneers at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Buccaneers, that defensive line, will probably step up to the challenge, hopefully, but it's going to be a tight one. Baker Mayfield's got to come through with some big boy throws. That's it from us from week 4. Go to 888 Sport to get all the odds. And remember, 18 plus, please gamble responsibly. That's that's it from us at the Jason and OC podcast. Please subscribe to all the channels. We really appreciate it, man. It's all because of you we get to do this. Check us out. Click the subscribe button. Like all the stuff. See you next week.
Guess what they get to CJ Bell if they like and subscribe?
Ankles!
The ankle action. It's a little ankle action.
That's my God. Ankle action is going to get you in trouble.
It's a little ankle action.
We're going to have to put a disclaimer.
NC-17 yeah, on yeah. it.
Till next week.
C-17 on the ankles, bro.